Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Excuse me. I'm here with my co-host. Sometimes those deep breaths just kind of get to you, you know? And I'm not Hillary. I don't have the same problem as Hillary does. Anyway, I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adlis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, February 17th, 2016. And once again, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Wendy Wilson will be joining us here in just a few short minutes. First, we're going to go to the markets and find out exactly what gold and silver has done today. And it's good to see gold continue to stay above that $1,200 level. After the pullbacks that we have gold up in the New York spot moment, 7.90 at 1209. It's up stronger earlier in the day, 1214 as a high. Silver up 0.04, 1537. Platinum was up 13 at 948. Palladium was up 5 at 516. The USDX today, a little bit weaker, 0.03 at 96.83. Crude oil back up over 30, 1.58 to the upside at 30.62. And the paper markets today, they were like a rocket this morning. They shot up. They just stayed there all day, barely traded the whole day. I mean, it was up 200 points, and that's where we're ending the day, 257 points, 16,453. The NASDAQ was up 100 points at 45.34. The S&P up 31 at 19.26. 10-year climbing just a little bit, 0.04 at 182. The euro, naturally, there's a little pressure, 111. European markets, both were up big. Germany was up almost 3%, London almost 3%, and the Asian markets were pretty much unchanged. And let me get to my, I think China was also up on the, let me see what we got here. Let's see my Asian Pacific charts. Shanghai, yeah, it was up a little over 1%. Up 30 points at 28.67. There's a lot to talk about today, but first, there's a lot to talk about with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
How's everybody doing?
Just great. Can't complain, except for the mosquito bites. I don't know.
Well, we're going to talk about the Zika virus if you want to get there. And does it have anything to do with mosquitoes? We shall find out. You know, the World News reports have this thing being massively covered, this outbreak showing children with birth defects, abnormally small heads, called congenital encephalitis type of condition. And the World Health Organization has thrown it out there with speculation that maybe genetically modified mosquitoes carrying yellow or dengue fever are to blame. But that's not entirely accurate. So what is Zika and where did it come from? What can we expect from this infection? Well, science has categorized Zika as a flavivirus. It has similar characteristics to yellow fever, dengue fever, West Nile virus, and Japanese encephalitis virus. In 2008, there was this virologist, Dr. Robert Lanciotti, who noted that the dengue had an encephalitic, menoencephalitic type of characteristic. In other words, it produced inflammation of the brain and spinal cord, which made it of an epidemic potential. It can be characterized by symptoms of rash, acute inflammation of the eyes called conjunctivitis, joint pain, fever, encephalitis type conditions, and the virus can produce even acute symptoms, and it's often mistaken for yellow or dengue fever. But it appears that Zika really is a primate virus and possibly a rodent virus, because they have seen some Zika antibodies in rodents. But get this, history is void of an originating human host of record for this virus. So if a patient experiences progressive muscle weakness, it could indicate that the nervous system is under attack by the Zika virus, because it can offer a neurological complication similar to Guillain-Barré syndrome. So let's get down to nitty-gritty. Where did this stuff come from? Well, in 1964, a scientist by the name of Simpson, he documented his encounter with the Zika virus. He said his symptoms started with mild headache. Next, he developed this blotchy, pimply, sandpaper-feeling rash similar to scarlet fever. He reported the rash covered his face, his neck, his abdomen, his upper arms, and spread to the palms of his hands and the soles of his feet. He did have a fever. He felt very sick. He had some back pain. But by the third day, the fever left, and the rash started to fade, and he started to feel a bit better. He felt nearly back to normal within 5 days of the onset of his symptoms. So it was later noted that some patients experience more acute fever with headache, but no rash or joint pain. Others reported symptoms of lack of appetite, vomiting, diarrhea, more of a flu-like kind of condition, along with some dizziness. Now, some experienced the inflammation of the eyes, and the human immune system, this is key, the human immune system is able to develop and make an antibody within 5 days of the onset of symptoms for the Zika virus. Now, for this reason, medicine called Zika virus a, quote, relatively innocuous, which means not very harmful pathogen, and certainly not in the category of plague pandemic. So what happened to the Zika virus that it caused this global concern? You have to keep in mind that Zika is often confused with dengue fever, and about 25% of those that are getting Zika virus are going to develop symptoms, just 25%. So here's the history of this virus, Al, Melanie. Zika, not a new virus, but it's not a new virus for the animal kingdom. It wasn't ever logged into history as being a human virus. Zika is yet another animal virus that's gotten some help from science to now infect humans. So according to 2009, there was this report by the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health, and it listed Zika virus, reported that back in April of 1947, it was found in the Zika forest of Uganda. Scientists happened to be there. They were doing exploratory research on yellow fever, and they were working there for the Rockefeller Foundation. They were trapping monkeys, rhesus monkeys, and they happened to notice two of them had a new type of virus and had a fever. So they took them back to the lab in Entebbe. Rockefeller had a lab there in Entebbe. They transported the sick monkeys there, where they made a Zika serum that was created. They took that Zika serum and they injected it into mice. In 10 days, the mice showed signs of neurological problems. So the serum that was injected into the mice, then they took and they took their brain material and from there created a transmissible Zika agent. And by 1948, African mosquitoes, they say, were carrying this Zika virus. So the early serologic research showed that the man-made virus could infect humans. And it was fully reported on this in 1956, explaining that the birth of a new human pestilence known as, quote, Zika virus, which was artificially taken from monkeys, fed to mice, and then to mosquitoes. So by 1968, scientists conducted these testing. They found now the Zika virus in 40% of humans in Nigeria. The Nigerians seemed to have a natural antibody to the virus. Zika was also spreading by 1981 to show up in human populations in Uganda, Tanzania, Egypt, Central African Republic, Sierra Leone, Gabon, and parts of Asia in India, Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, and Indonesia. So all this stuff, you know, this was on purpose. Okay? You can just look back at all the documentation here. And I know a lot of people are saying it's the mosquitoes, but now it's transmissible from human to human. So the mosquitoes may have jump started it. But it's showing up in parts of Africa that don't have mosquitoes. Okay? And Doctors J.W. Dick in the 1950s and his cohorts, J.P. Boren and J.S. Portfield, they did a little test to see if the mosquitoes were actually transporting the Zika virus, and they weren't able to confirm that, and their research wound up in PubMed. So they are working on a Zika vaccine. Actually, scientists have developed two of them. They'll be ready in 9 months. So I think this is too much coincidence happening that it was just, you know, something that evolved naturally. And now they already have a vaccine that could be used in 4 to 9 months. What do you think?
You know, the global spread that you're talking about.
Right.
This allegedly started up in Africa.
Right.
And it's covered half the tropics of the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering, do mosquitoes move? Do they migrate that rapidly from country to country? I can understand that within a certain, you know, vicinity, you can have mosquitoes that are picking up, that are transmitting a particular disease. But we've got mosquitoes that started up in Uganda and are off in Indonesia.
Yeah, do they migrate that far? Yeah, that's the problem.
Is that a natural thing?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, they don't migrate like birds. I'm sorry. But, you know, Zika virus is really not the only virus that doesn't agree with pregnancy. We have the chickenpox virus is also known to cause birth defects and even fetal death. We have the German measles is another disease that can harm the unborn. There's also an unknown area regarding influenza pathogens that can affect the unborn baby. Diseases like mononucleosis, mumps, roseola, regular measles, and rhinoviruses have a 2 to 3% estimated risk to harm an unborn baby. And Dr. Barbara Houck, I had her years ago on my show. She was the head of the Houck Institute out in Missouri. And she and her team did some research on just the common flu viruses and how that affected pregnant women and babies. And her research seemed to indicate that flu pathogens increase the risk of a child developing later on in life a mental illness like schizophrenia. So Zika is really getting a lot of attention due to the risk of pregnant women who contract the virus having babies born with congenital microencephalopathy and, you know, the undeveloped brain. And I just think the Zika virus has been tweaked. I think my opinion is they added the Japanese encephalitis virus to it. I just think it's not just Zika that's the problem.
I agree with you. You know, if all they were doing, they had changed a virus that was pretty much localized to Uganda, whatever, and in animals. Mm-hmm. And they changed it where it would go to people, and all we get is a five-day fever out of it, basically, mm-hmm. and a few other odds and ends.
Right.
But it's 5 days, comes and gone. It doesn't sound like a particularly dangerous virus.
Well, no, they
it sounds
they
like they added something to it that would intentionally
right.
or otherwise affect the unborn.
Right. I think it might be an attempt at population control. I think maybe they thought it would be more deadly. You know, anybody's guess there. Right now, according to reports, we have Zika showing up in Texas, New York, New Jersey, and Hawaii. So they're saying now it can be transmitted sexually, possibly. It's just an interesting thing. One way I think really to guard ourselves is really, you know, power up that immune system and, you know, just be as proactive as you can out there. And a lot of people are saying, you know, wear repellent and you might want to, you know, stay away from those areas that are prevalent to mosquitoes. Make sure you don't have any standing water around your place. Citronella candles, I guess, if you're worried about the mosquito transmission. But apparently it's now being transmitted human to human some other way.
Well, we don't have a – what do you think – do you have any information on the vaccine? You just know that 9 months they would have one. You don't have any further information on the vaccine right now other than when it might be released.
Yeah, it's an Indian company, and they have two versions of the vaccine. They said that it's been in development 9 months, and they're right now in animal trials. So they hope to have it, you know, ready for the human market, you know, in about 4 months. So the company is Bharat Biotech International out of Hyderabad, India. They've been working on this for 9 months, the formulation. So they say look for the Zika vaccine in 4 months, which I think is too coincidental, really.
I don't know. The whole thing, you get into this sort of thing, and there's no end to the conspiracy theories, and they're not without some sort of foundation where they might be true. But if there's any real evidence that people have created this and said, I know, why don't we take this? It only affects animals, and we'll amp it up where it can get people, too. The people responsible for that should be tried, and if of for something like crimes against humanity, and if found guilty, hanged. All right?
Well, yeah.
And not a handful of them, not a little wrist step on five or six. If you had to take out everybody who worked in the plant, this is intolerable.
Well, yeah. Actually, there's been a couple of virologists that have said, you know, the genomes and DNA for humans is well known now and mapped, not that complicated to turn on a receptor or turn off a receptor so that these animal diseases can jump the gap. So they already know how to do that with ease.
So what have you got to help folks?
Well, I got immune boosting. We have pandemic kits, obviously, going to power up your own natural defenses, your immune system, as much as possible. Blood cleanses are another thing. If you think you've been exposed, you want to sweep the blood as much as you can. That's personally what I would be doing. I think the pandemic kit is a good one. It covers a broad spectrum of viruses and pathogens, so I would be powering up my natural defenses against it, and I would personally skip the vaccine because you never know what else is in there.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, like, you wonder which is worse, the disease or the cure? The way they're operating, it's hard to say, oh, here's a vaccine for you. I'll take my chances with a little mosquito and get a little taste of this rather than a vaccine where I can get, you know.
Well, I think the big fear is, you know, pregnant women who are wanting families or are expecting. That's the biggest fear they're fanning right now. So they'll be lining up pregnant women for vaccines. And, you know, just 15, 20 years ago, it was unheard of to vaccinate a pregnant woman. So
Why don't you give us some contact information, Wendy?
Sure. They can give us a call, and we'll send them a free product catalog. The number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and they can visit us online, thepowerherbs.com. Enjoyed it. See you next week.
Thank you, Wendy. Much appreciated. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival. Just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here's an article from Business Insider. Morgan Stanley has declared that they're slashing their oil price forecast by 50%. Oil is one of the most traded commodities at the moment, and everyone has a view. But the prevailing opinion now is that oil prices won't be returning to triple digits a barrel anytime soon, meaning it's not going to, we're not going to see $100 oil anytime soon. On Monday, Ian Taylor, CEO of Vitol Group, said the price of oil would stay below $60 for as long as 10 years. Now, I don't know what the price of oil is going to do. But I don't believe anybody can make a prediction that's worth paying attention to for 10 years into the future. He might be right. I'm not saying they're wrong about that. But this is just guessing. 10 years? Most people, we can't tell what's going to happen next week for an absolute fact, and we're making predictions as to what's going to happen for 10 years. Morgan Stanley has weighed in, slashing its 2016 forecast from above $50 a barrel to less than 30. It's all about demand. With the OPEC oil-producing cartel refusing to cut production, it will take a lot of demand for the commodity to mop up the glut and return prices to normal. Morgan Stanley analysts don't see any evidence of that happening soon. We're pushing out our view of a recovery in oil by 6 to 12 months and cutting our oil forecast from $50 to a high of high $20 over the next year. So they're essentially saying it's what we're getting out of these reports is simply that the price of oil is going to stay down for some considerable period of time. If we can believe these people, at least another year and maybe several years. Price of oil is going to stay relatively low. Price of gasoline will stay relatively low. It means, Melody, that now you can buy the SUV, the gas guzzler you always wanted.
I will run right out.
Happy days. What else, Melody?
Well, you know, you're right. I don't think anyone can predict what's going to happen 10 years from now, not in today's world. And I do think oil will stay below 60. I would predict, and you could see anything in oil. And I think bringing Iran on into the equation, plus the U.S. shipping oil over to Europe, I mean, who knows how it's all going to play out. Strike a war in the Middle East and with Syria and the Saudis and everything else going on. It's just, it's like a moment by moment. And that's why gold and silver is so important, because, it's going to benefit from all of these moment-to-moment situations that occur, and they are going to occur. They're not going to go away. That is how unstable the world is. And anytime you have the world as unstable as it is, this is why you want gold and silver, particularly gold in your portfolio, to bring you stability in your own holdings, in your own portfolio. You convert those dollars into something that provides you that stability. And
speaking
it's a no-brainer.
In
fact, I wanted to bring in my special today, Al, and I have 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagles. American Gold Eagles, 1/4 ounce for $135 each. You can buy 1 or 100 of them. They're readily available.
Quarter-ounce Gold Eagles?
Quarter-ounce American Gold Eagles.
For $135 each?
For $135.
That translates into a ounce price of like $600.
Well, you know what? I gave you, that's the 1/10 ounce. I'm sorry. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al. The 1/4 ounce. Let me put it this way: the 1/10 ounce or 135, and the 1/4 ounce would be $333. $333 for 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle. For the 1/10 ounce, they're $135. And the 90% silver, we have a $50 face value bag at $660, and that includes your shipping costs. So we have a little bit of various product. You can add one, add two, add three, and you can buy either 1 or 100 of each. So product is widely available. And again, I'm hearing reports from various folks saying product is difficult to get. Not yet, but it can be in the very near future. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Speaking about instability, here's a few of the headlines for last weekend. One, Turkish airstrikes in Syria, with Saudi Arabia preparing to invade. Things are really stacking up there in the Middle East. There is going to be a serious problem. Two, 10,000 Greeks were rioting in Athens after government proposed to triple Social Security taxes and double income taxes to meet the Troika's austerity demands so insolvent Greek banks can receive enough freshly printed bailout money to print the interest owed to its European federal lords. What they're just saying here is the Greeks are rioting. The government is seeking to double or triple their taxes, triple some of their taxes, double others. You know that's not going to go over, especially after they've been subjected to austerity for, I suppose, 5 years now. And the whole idea is to try to round up enough money where Greek banks can pay the interest on the debt owed to the European creditors. Now, this is another one of those strange things where how much difference does it really make? You know, I'm sure the creditors would like to get their money back, but the truth is Greece doesn't have it, and Greece isn't going to pay it. All right? And by paying the interest, however, they can maintain the pretense that the loans are still valuable. And the creditors can continue to carry these loans on their books and say, look, this is still a performing loan. Greece is paying the interest on it, so it's still good. And if they've got $100 million in Greek bonds, as long as Greece continues to pay the interest, the creditors can hold those $100 million in Greek bonds and say, see, it's still valuable. When the truth is, Greece is never going to pay off those bonds. But it's for the sake of the illusion that Greece is being pressured to try to maintain the fiction that they can pay their bills. They won't. But, the Greek problem will continue and continue and continue until finally Greece declares bankruptcy. If they ever do it, then they can walk out from under this, much like Iceland has done. If they don't do it, they're going to be in austerity and some sort of a debt bondage for who knows how long this is going to last. It may be that crude oil, the price of crude oil, returns to triple digits before the Greeks get out of their debt problem. Here's a third item from the last weekend. Japan was reporting that it had officially gone back into recession with a worse than expected fourth quarter GDP contraction of 0.4%. And there was a good chance that 0.4% contraction, it might actually be understated due to accounting fudging. Same thing we have in this country. They make up the numbers to create the belief they want people to believe or try to create it, even if it doesn't reflect reality. Number four, China is reporting much worse than expected January exports. They're down 7% versus expectations of a 4% increase, and imports are down 14% versus expectations of a 2% increase. China just goes from bad news to bad news, and we'll watch to see how long this can continue. China may turn things around, and who knows when. It could happen any time, but it might not happen for a long time. All of this is just more evidence that the world is almost astonishingly unstable. All right? And we'll get more, and we'll talk a little more about the war that may be breaking out in the Middle East in the very near future. And when I mean very near future, I'm talking about before the end of this month. All right? In the next 2 weeks, we could see a significant and dangerous war break out in the Middle East. There are reports that 350,000 troops have amassed in northern Saudi Arabia and are preparing to invade Syria. They claim that these troops are there as part of an exercise, military exercise, but I've seen at least one report from someone who claims to have been in National Security Agency agent at one point. Not that he's not that anymore, but he's got a background where he might know what he's talking about. He claims there has never before been a an exercise, a military exercise that involved 350,000 people. And this is the Saudis coming in to kick Syrian butt. The Saudis plus a host of others that are joining with the Saudis to come in and kick Syrian butt, which the Russians have essentially sworn to defend. And one of the analysts talking about this said, look, there's no way that the Russians can deal with 350,000 soldiers, invaders, except with tactical nuclear weapons. They're going to have to go after that army. They can't stop it unless they go after it with tactical nukes. And then the question becomes, how long before the use of tactical nukes on the battlefield essentially precipitates the use of strategic nuclear devices launched by one nation against another nation's capitals, productive, industry, whatever. These are dangerous times. And we're going to see what happens here. But this is, I don't have the article right in front of me. We'll get it up here probably after this next break, and we can talk about what's happening or what apparently is happening in the Middle East on this road to war. But they're bringing in hundreds of tanks. I don't know how many fighter planes, one thing or another like that. This is no game. This is no game. And it could easily precipitate an exchange of nuclear weapons. First on the battlefield, and if it starts on the battlefield, and it's the only way the Russians can probably stop an army of 350,000, they're going to have to use nuclear devices. Once that happens, we're on the verge of Saudi Arabia trying to nuke Russia, for example. Now, I don't think Saudi Arabia has any missiles that can do it, although it might have some sort of cruise missiles, but I don't think it has any intercontinental ballistic missiles. I don't know, but I don't believe they do. But they have airplanes. They probably have cruise missiles. They're capable of striking Russia with nuclear devices. And Russia is certainly capable of striking Saudi Arabia with nuclear devices. And Saudi Arabia is sitting back, and they are counting on the United States to back them up against Russia. So the Russians, in theory, won't nuke Saudi Arabia, but you got to sit back if you are conspiracy theory oriented. You're going to sit back and wonder, is the United States really on good terms with Saudi Arabia in the last year or two? And would the United States want the price of oil to go up? Because, you know, if something happened to Saudi Arabia and they were removed from the oil production equation, it would probably go a long way to solving the oil glut. It would go a long way to increasing the price of oil across around the world. And you can speculate, and that's all it is speculate, but you can speculate on whether or not the United States would betray the Soviet Union and say, all right, you Russians want to bomb them, go ahead, have at them. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying we are in peculiar and strange times when it's impossible to predict what's going to happen. We've got so many things happening in China, in Japan, just read through a list, Greece, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Syria. I guarantee no one can tell you what's really going to be here 2 weeks from now. The world is that unstable. It could be dramatically changed in ways none of us imagine, and it could happen within the next 2 weeks. I'm not saying it's going to. I don't know. But no one else does either. So, we live in interesting times. We'll be back. I'm going to take a couple of commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We've got a caller from West Virginia. It's Jim. What up, Jim?
Oh, I've got two short comments. I can't help it sometimes. I go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Early 70s, low oil prices. Oh, let's have a war in the Middle East. Now, I know the oil shortage was fabricated. We actually had a tanker, a barge that's full of oil from Louisiana come up to Kanawha River up to Charleston. A lot of people who are boaters listen to Channel 16 on their little HF phones, radios. And this guy said, well, I've got these loaded barges, and I got no place to unload them here at the facility. Turned around and went back south with them again. Okay, but yeah, low oil prices in the early 70s. Let's have a war. Low oil prices 2000, 2001. Oh, let's have another war in the Middle East. The oil prices, go figure. Okay, that's comment
well, I
one.
Think, and why do you think they want, what's the reason for it?
For what?
Well, for having a war to raise oil prices.
I think that what it boils down to is they want their money so they can have more wars. Government has two basic jobs from eternity almost. One is to take as much as possible from the governed, and two, to stay in control. And if they aren't getting enough money, they know they can lose control. So that's what it's all about.
I think what it's about is a petrodollar. I think if the price of oil goes up, I wonder, I don't know, I haven't worked it out in my mind, but I think if the price of oil goes up, does that, it creates inflation, but does it somehow strengthen the petrodollar?
Well, I'm not even worried.
Do you think it's possible, or can you see that, or do you think that's not a good hypothesis?
You're most likely right. I hadn't really thought of it. But now, you look at different societies. When they ran out of firewood because the society got too big, they collapsed. The Mayans, for instance, that's part of the reason for their collapse. But if you don't have enough fuel, if you don't have enough food, the society comes completely apart.
Yep.
That's the most general statement I can make. But insofar as its effect on the petrodollar, I see the petrodollar as, well, it's about 100 years old. It's in a hospital bed. It has tubes in it and a breathing mask over it. And it's dying. And it's sitting there saying, when I get up out of here, I'm going to beat up on all you whippersnappers. I see the dollar is dead no matter what. Okay.
I agree, but is it dead in 24 months or is it dead in 60 months? And that's maybe all we're fighting about right now.
Well,
I just look at it and I wonder if they go to war, diminish the supply of oil, price of oil is going to go up, and so I think perhaps will the demand for dollars may also go up in order to purchase that. I know the dollar is not the only currency that can be used anymore, but I'm wondering if perhaps the petrodollar is what's really behind trying to raise the price of oil. And maybe that's just a nonsensical idea. I'm not saying it's true,
well,
but it crosses my mind.
I could have agreed with you 15 years ago, but now when oil is trading in the yuan, yen, gold, rubles, not so much. And not only that, but we are more or less oil independent compared to where we were. Yeah, it'll be oil at a higher price.
Yeah, we are.
But the petrodollar is just waning in its influence. So, yeah, I had to really think about the question. I'd agree with you 20 years ago, but not now. And I don't know whether it'll happen in 2 months or 5 years. I mean, 2 years or 5 years, 2 weeks. I loved your statement. We don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. I've never seen anything this unstable.
I understand.
Well, my next statement is this. Okay, it is written that the lender has the borrower around by the neck, that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Well, there's an inverse of that, and real economics is real simple. It's simpler than shop or home ec. But the borrower has the lender around the neck. As you said, one of
his assets. If he can borrow enough, yeah.
Exactly. Well, like as you said, one man's debt is another man's asset. So the guy with the assets loans it to the guy who doesn't have the assets. Well, they both have each other around the neck. It's like that picture of the frog and the water bird, the frog with its hands around the neck of the water bird. They both have each other by the neck, more or less, okay? Now, every time you talk about Iceland, I get this warm, fuzzy feeling inside. Ooh, yes, I love it. Now, the way I see it is that the debt that can't be paid won't be paid, right?
Yep.
One man's asset is another man's liability, vice versa. Okay. Yep. Okay. Now, add those two up. Now, if you have European, the Europeans have been loaned a bunch of counterfeit currency. Okay. And the whole counterfeit currency thing started in Babylon 2,600 years ago. But they are all have this loaned out, counterfeit currency loaned out to them. If all of them got together at the same time and said, hey, wait a second. Well, there's no reason for us to pay you counterfeiters back and pay you interest on counterfeit bucks, counterfeit currency, pound sand. That would get rid of the European Central Bank. In the back of my mind, I keep thinking, you know, if we have a situation with Greece, obvious. Let's say Italy and Spain and Portugal and Ireland. If they all got together, it'd take them about 5 minutes to come to this if they ever bothered. Hey, let's get together and form a union and say, we're going to strike back at the management, the banksters. Guess what? It all falls down. That's one hope which I have.
Well, here's here's the problem. We had a jubilee back in the Old Testament. Every 50 years, they wiped out all the debt, was canceled. And if I had loaned 100 ounces of gold to you, Jim, and we came up on the jubilee, you, whatever remainder of the debt was, if you still owed me 50 ounces of gold, it would be canceled.
Right.
Right? I would be out 50 ounces of gold, and it's not a bad thing, because if I had the 100 ounces to lend in the first place, I might be on the verge of becoming an oligarch. This jubilee thing would be a good thing for preventing an oligarchy. But the great thing about it is, even though I didn't get the 50 ounces that you owed me, that would never be returned, the 50 ounces was still in circulation in our community. I would lose 50 ounces. I wouldn't be able to be an oligarch, all right? But the community would not be damaged by the loss of the assets. They're still there, 50 ounces. You might have them. You might have given them to your who knows who. But the 50 ounces would still be in the economy.
Well,
so the economy continues to function. But if we do this today, if we had a jubilee today where we cancel the debt, we cancel all of the correlative assets. All of a sudden, there's no, if I cancel the debt, the government comes out and says, look, we can't pay $19 trillion that we have officially announced as a national debt. And therefore, we're wiping it. We're going to just cancel that $19 trillion. They have also just knocked out $19 trillion in paper assets. Can the economy withstand that loss? This is because we have this debt-based monetary system where one man's debt's another man's asset.
Well, here's something to think about. Okay, all these people who are so very, very paper wealthy. Now, I don't care whether you're paper wealthy in terms of 100K or 100 million or whatever. There will be a day of jubilee, so to speak, because they're going to lose the greatest percentage of their assets. Whereas if you have some little dirt farmer out here who owns his farm equipment, who owns some land, who has some skills, universal skills, you know, production of food, for instance, he's not going to lose very much of his value. But the people who have ripped off ever so many, and we're talking about people with endless credit from the Federal Reserve, you know, the ones who have free money, they're going to take it a beating. They're going to take a horrendous beating. So we will have, of sorts, a year of jubilee. Brought on by the fact that those with who have...
Yeah. Look at those sorry SOBs. They got beat up worse than we did.
Yeah. So
certain amount of satisfaction. I got the pool beat out of me, but look at those guys. I mean, gives you something to laugh about while you're fixing a cast on your broken arm or whatever. But that's the danger in this. I think that fundamental idea goes a long way to explaining why Greece is prevented from filing a bankruptcy. Bankruptcy wipes out debt. Debt is the fundamental. It's treated as an asset behind our currency. We can't wipe out debt. I think it's part of the reason why there are people who try to pay their mortgages ahead of time. The bank will impose a penalty on them. The average person say that's crazy. They're putting a penalty. I'm paying my mortgage in advance. You'd think the banks would want that. No. They don't want the payment. They want the debt.
There's another thing people don't think about.
The world is mad, and we don't know what's going on 2 weeks from now.
Well, something else to think about. There's a whole cloud of title issue. Let me explain something, folks. The term mortgage comes from Latin. Mort, death. Gage, grip. Death grip. The banks don't want your money. They can print all that they want. They want your property, buddy.
I don't even know that they want the property. The valuable thing in a mortgage is if you go in and go to the bank and say, okay, I want a mortgage for $200,000 for a home. All right, you qualify, you get the mortgage, and now over the course of the next 30 years, you can pay off that mortgage probably double. You'll probably pay off $400,000 for the $200,000 home over the course of the next 30 years. The bank, on the other hand, will sell your debt instruments that you signed and become valuable by virtue of your signature, and they can apparently sell them to other financial institutions who can use them as collateral to make loans at a rate of 9-to-1 under fractional reserve banking, which means somebody can buy that piece of paper that I signed my name to, said I promised to pay $200,000. In theory, some bank can wind up owning that, and they can lend what, nine times? $1,800,000. If you can collect 10% interest on the loan, small term loans, on $1,800,000, you basically have a 100% return on investment. You paid $200,000 for that note, maybe a little bit more, and you can probably pull in at least a 10% interest rate. You can't get that now, but you could for a while. You could be pulling in $180,000 a year. They're getting the equivalent of a new house every year. And the guy who signed the piece of paper, right?
Break.
He's going to pay double for his house over the course of 30 years. He's getting nothing, and they're getting the equivalent of 30 free houses.
Okay. That works as long as a dollar works. Okay.
Yeah.
As a dollar goes to you know where, the hot place.
Yep.
You're still, what's left of value is the land. According to the Bible, the only real wealth Land, cattle, gold, silver, which kind of ties this all up, folks. Get your gold and silver.
I'll give you another one. Let me give you one more. There are two verses in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where the good Lord is speaking to the Hebrews one way or another, and he says, the gold and the silver are mine.
Yep.
Now, he's talking about, at least in one instance, he's talking about some of the vessels that are in the tabernacle and the rest of it. But he says, the gold and silver are mine, or at least according to the Bible, that was what's said.
Yep.
I wonder, and I would never be able to prove it, this is just crazy speculation, is the reason people are so attracted to gold and silver because they are somehow inherently godly? This is God. He doesn't care about the iron. You can have the iron, you can have the magnesium, whatever, but the gold and the silver are mine, saith the Lord. It's a leap, it's a speculation, it's not necessarily true. I'm not telling anybody that, but it's strike you as plausible.
It seems to have an attraction above and beyond a lot of other things. Like, I kind of noticed that platinum's like, used to always be above gold. Now it's like 200 some below gold.
Yeah.
But yeah, there seems to be an endless fascination with it. But the
5,000 years.
Yeah, but the
We're not talking about a fad. This is not like a hula hoop or something. You know, it did not just come and go. 5,000 years. Is this a way, when you grab hold of some gold, are you grabbing hold of something that's God's property? Is that what attracts us to it?
Well, let me toss this in. Okay,
you're going to have to toss it fast because we're running out of time, Jim.
Oh yeah, I'm a fast talker, just as bad as Alfred. But all jokes aside, we're in a 2,600 year battle between God's money and the devil's currency. And someday I'll explain the Babylonian money system. If you haven't done it already, I'll catch up with you later. God bless.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. That's Jim from West Virginia. I'm Al from Texas, here with Melody from Pennsylvania, East Coast. And we are on Financial Survival and Out of Time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, and Jim from West Virginia. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's you.